him.
Aye.
Oh, wrong way.
Could someone turn the up just a little bit? I turned the fan on because I'm about to burn up here. So, just a matter of perspective. Whew. That's not working out very well for me, is it? Famous photo, right? Yeah, we're not doing that here today. Not today. Not here.
Lukey 13. Last message for now out of Lukey 13. Message titled, Do You Know Where You Are? We're going to talk about where we are. And we could go a lot of different ways with talking about where we are. Where we are as a society, where we are as individuals, where we are as people, where we are as church, where we are as big church, big C church. We talk about a lot of different ways. But we're just going to talk about where we are right now. And if you have someone sitting next to you, if you have a neighbor, or if you have to look across the church, look at your church and say, I know where I am. Now look at them and say, do you know where you are? Now look at them and say, I hope I'm right. I heard Liz. I know I'm right. Yeah. Just wait. I barely got started. You know that to get somewhere, you got to know where you are. Right? If you don't know where you are, it's hard to navigate to somewhere that you might know where it is, but if you don't know where you are, it's hard to navigate to the place that you want to be. Right? Like if you don't know where you're starting at, even if you had a map, you couldn't decide a route if you didn't know where to begin. If I just dropped you off in the middle of somewhere and said, hey, get to Florida, you say, okay, great, where am I? Because you can, there's all different ways to get there. And if I drop you off in Russia, it's going to be a little different trip than if I drop you off in California. Right? You got different routes. You got different ways to go. But you always have to know where you are. And so today I want us to, I'm hoping that we will use this moment in time to assess and ask ourselves internally even, where are we? Because I know where I want to go. I know where I want to go as a person, as an individual, as a father, as a husband, as a believer, as a pastor. I know where I want to go. I know where I want the church to go. I mean, I know all of those things. Okay? I know so many things. But planning the route from here to there is always different. It's always different because every one of those destinations can take a little different route. And the hardest part is figuring out how to get to all those destinations together. Right, where they all work out together. To be the father I want to be, I got to do these things. And to be the husband I want to be, I got to do these things. And does this thing line up with that thing? Planning a route can be so challenging. And like if you were going to Chicago or going to Orlando, and would you go to Chicago to get to Orlando from here? No. Unless you were flying, and then all those rules, none of those rules apply. Right? Because if you're flying, they may send you to Chicago to get you to Orlando. Because they don't own a globe, I guess. I don't know. But they just send you different ways to get places. Whatever. I'm sure it figures out it to their benefit in some way. But most of us wouldn't just think, okay, I want to go to Orlando, so I'm going to go to Chicago first. That doesn't make sense. Nothing about that makes sense. To go north, to go south and east. Nothing about that makes sense. But it would make sense if you were in, say, a suburb of Chicago. Okay, then, yeah, okay, I might go to Chicago and hop on a plane and then go to Orlando. But you wouldn't do that from here, right? Why? Why wouldn't you do that from here? Because you know where you are. And you know where you want to go. And so you know the route you need to take, or you can at least find one. You know? And from here to Orlando, there's a lot of different ways you can go. Because we drove to Orlando, or to that area, to Florida area a couple of years ago. And there's a couple of different ways you can go. One of them, you could go further south and just kind of drive along the coast, right? Or you can go a different way and stay more northern and then cut down. Like, there's several different ways to go to get to that area. But you only know how to get there if you know where you are. Luke 13, verses 24 through 27. You know, it's funny to me that Luke 13 kind of ends how it started in a way, because it began with a call to repent, talking about repentance. Verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Now, before I go further, let me just tell you, some of you have seen or have heard that Tammy and I have been house shopping, trying to get moved to Stillwater. Okay? And we looked at a house recently, a couple weeks ago, I guess, and it was the craziest thing, because they had, I think there was like a bathroom with a bathtub in here and a bathroom with a shower in here, and there was a doorway between them. And see, Liz is laughing because she was showing us the house, right? And for me to get from one bathroom to the other, I had to turn sideways to get through that narrow door. I could not have just walked straight through that doorway. And I'm not laughing or exaggerating at all. Because I know, because we made the comment that poor Jason, right? He would have been like me. He would have had to turn sideways and do the shuffle, you know, to get through that door. And it still was not the most comfortable thing. I thought, you know, I might wall that off if we bought that house, just because that makes a person self-conscious when you have to walk sideways through a door, right? And you're really questioning your next meal. You know, I was thinking about a steak. Now I'm thinking about a salad. You know, it changes things. But I read that verse and I thought, yeah, strive to enter through the narrow door. There's a lot of people that think they're going to make it through that door. A lot of people, I believe, think they're going to make it through that door. And I wish that door were wider in a way. Because I wish there were more people going to make it through that door. And I even believe that my God wishes that door was wider. Because His hope, His desire is that all make it to heaven. Right? It's written multiple times. My son came for everyone, for all the world. But not everybody's going to know him, and not everybody's going to accept him. Not everybody's going to love him. I'm going to tell you right now, it might hurt your feelings, but not everyone's going to love you. I wish they would.
If you think they are, that everyone's just going to love you, I would challenge you to get into ministry. Because you will learn not everyone's going to love you. They just won't. Lita told Tammy that a long time ago. Not everybody's going to love you. And that's okay. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able. I'm glad that doorway wasn't any more narrow. It would have been, I would have had to buy the house just for this message. Right? Just to use that door as the example to show everyone how hard it can be to get through the narrow door. In fact, I might just have to build a narrow door somewhere just to put there. You know, oh, we could put it outside and we could make the door to the church narrow. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that at all. Then I wouldn't be able to come in at some point. Well, all right then. Verse 25. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open up to us, then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. You ever locked yourself out of your house? It's a miserable feeling. A miserable feeling when you can't, it's your house, and you can't even get into your house. Oh my goodness, that's a terrible feeling. You ever had to climb through a window to get into your house? Tammy and I were teenagers, and we were going over to a friend's house. She was with us, and we get there, and she was locked out of her house. And so we found an open window. It's a bathroom window. And we're trying to decide who's going to go through the window. And she said, it's my house. I know where everything's at. I'll just go. And so her boyfriend at the time gives her a boost, and she hits her head on the window ledge, and she's out cold. I'm not joking. She was just like, she hit right here, and she's, bam, she was out. No question. That was a weird moment, but I remember having to catch her. You ever been locked out of your house and somebody else is in? My brother did that to me when we were kids. Locked me out. Got mad at me and locked me out of the house. I ran up to the store and called Mom. I wasn't locked out anymore. What I did, I ran straight up to the gas station, called Mom at work. Oof! I would not want to have been my brother when she caught a hold of him. I'm at work, and rah, 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 Tammy was on a trip a few years ago, and there was an older lady with them, and everybody else went into the gas station to get drinks and whatever, and this lady stayed in the vehicle. Okay. They locked her in the vehicle with the keys. And they come back out to get into the vehicle. And she can't figure out how to unlock it to let them in. And they're sitting there going, it's the button. And that button, right? Nope. It was like 10 minutes. They stood outside looking crazy like fools trying to get into that place, into that car. She called me and told me. I laughed. Still funny. Verse 26, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evil doers. Where you are from is where you are. That's where you're from. Wherever you are, that's where you're from. And that seems like a crazy, odd statement to make. But when Jesus looks at you and says, I don't even know where you're from, he's saying, I don't know where you're coming from, and where you're coming from is where you were. Where you are right now is where you would be coming from. If you went right now,
It would be where you're coming from is where you are right now. And I'm not talking about the physical location of your body right this minute. And I don't believe Jesus is talking about that either. He's talking about your spiritual condition at that moment, at that time. He's talking about where your heart is, where your spirit is, where your spiritual life is. That's where you're from. When you come to Jesus, that's where you're from, is where all of those things are, where you are spiritually. The spiritual location of your heart is what he's talking about. And if you go back to verse 26, he says, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. I was around Jesus, right? I was close to somebody who knew Jesus. I was around Jesus' people, right? And you taught in our streets. Like there was, it doesn't matter. I believe my Bible tells me that there are going to be people in, when it all comes down, when the rapture happens, when the reunion in the sky comes, Jesus, the trumpet sounds, and all that, when all that takes place, there are going to be people who are going to try to get into heaven, and he's going to say, I don't even know where you came from. I don't even know where you're from. I don't know you. And some of those people are going to be pastors, youth pastors, kids pastors, worship leaders, church secretaries and deacons and board members. And some of those people are going to be those people who are going to be saying, let me in. And he's going to say, I don't even know who you are. I don't even know where you're from. Brother Bill taught me the greatest phrase in the Christian world I think I've ever heard, because he described a church one time as being a deacon-possessed church, and I think it's the greatest thing I've ever heard. And sadly, it's true, because some churches get a group of deacons, a group of male of leaders in the church who will run the church as a business and never tend to or think about or care about the spiritual aspects of the church. And it becomes this, the deacons are running everything. They hire the pastor, and if they don't like what the pastor's doing or what the pastor's saying, they'll just decide they're going to starve him out, you know. They're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and all this stuff. And it can just become this miserable place. And may we never be those people. May we never be that church that becomes so focused and so concerned with unspiritual things that we neglect the spiritual things, because the spirit is where you're from. The spirit is where your heart is. The spirit is where everything flows, right? Your heart is where the spirit is, and out of the heart, everything flows. We have to be more concerned about where we are spiritually. Because if we know where we are spiritually, everything that happens is going to happen in a good, positive, Jesus-like way. But when we're not focused on where our heart is and where we are, then our heart can just go wild and get caught up in this and caught up in that and become angry and bitter and turn to stone and just become so uncaring and unloving. And we don't look at people like Jesus looked at people. We stop looking at them and caring about who they are or what they are or even what they need or the fact that they just need to know Jesus. We have to become so aware of where we are, because we know where we want to go. We know where we want to go. I don't think there's anybody in here that would say, I don't want to go to heaven. And if you do, come forward, we'll pray for you right now. You might not think you deserve to go to heaven, but that doesn't mean you don't want to go. It just means you don't think you deserve to go to heaven. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't think you deserve to go to heaven,
I'm glad you don't think you deserve it. And that's probably going to sound weird. I don't deserve it. I don't. It doesn't matter how many messages I preach, how many churches I pastor, how many people I lead to Jesus, how many people I baptize, how many people I... It doesn't matter any of that. I could never deserve to go to heaven. But the greatest thing in the world is I don't have to deserve it. What you have done and what you haven't done doesn't matter a bit. All that matters is you put your faith and your trust in Jesus. You believe, my Bible says it this way, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. It's not about classes. It's not about... The church has tried to make it about a whole bunch of other stuff. It's as simple as saying, I love Jesus. He's the Son of God. And God raised him from the dead. And because of that, that's how you're saved. And that's where you, when you know that your heart's in the right place, in that moment. And I love... one of my favorite things as I think about this message is you go to the mall, okay? And if you know there's a store in the mall that you want to go to, but you don't know where that store is, every corner of the mall, they usually have this great big thing. And it's a map of the mall. And it's got first floor, second floor, third floor, if it's got a third floor, whatever. And somewhere on that map, there's a dot, and that dot says, you are here. Right here, it's where you are. And when you find that dot, you can look through and you can find the store you want to go to, and you can say, I am here, I want to go here, how do I get there? Today, I want you to figure out, you are here. And I don't care where here is. It doesn't matter where here is. If here is absolutely the closest to Jesus you've ever been, praise God. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm shouting with you. But if where you are is Siberia and Jesus is in Florida, right? We need to start making a plan of how to get from Siberia to Florida. But you got to figure out you're in Siberia. You got to figure out you're cold, desolate, lifeless. Like you got to figure out that you're in a place that you don't want to be. To figure out how to get where you do want to be. And that's not easy. It's not easy to admit that you're cold. It's not easy to admit that you're dry. It's not easy to admit that you're not where you want to be spiritually. It's not easy to admit that. I have been there more recently than you would ever believe or imagine. I've been there. That place where you just don't want to. You know you should, but you just don't want to. And I think there's a couple of steps that we can take to help us get where we want to be. Psalm 26, verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. You're giving the Lord permission. When you pray this psalm right here, you're giving the Lord permission. You're asking him,
Lord, I need a checkup. Check my heart. Check my thoughts. Check everything about me, Lord. Examine me and try me. Test my mind and my heart. You're giving him full permission to do a full workup. Blood work and the whole bit. CAT scans, EKGs, whatever. You're giving him permission to look up and down, all over. And that's not easy to do. Because some of us think we have a place that the Lord can't see. It's that little hidden spot that, right, you know, or maybe you got one over here, or it's in the middle of your back somewhere, some place that he can't see. And that's where you keep those things that nobody knows about. Those things that only happen when nobody else is around. Those thoughts that wander. Those websites you look at. Those videos, those, you know, the ones that get shut off real quickly when somebody else comes into the room. Should I take my shoes off? I'm afraid I might hit a couple of toes. And if I don't have my shoes on, it might hurt. It might hurt so much. But just know if I hit your toes, mine got hit before yours. And this is not me saying anything about anything that I know about anything, because I don't know nothing. I just know we're going through the book of Luke, and this is this place where Jesus is calling out. He's been teaching, he's been giving these lessons, and he gets to this place where he's talking about, I don't even know where you're from. He's calling them out in front of everyone. Because sometimes we have to realize and figure out that we have to make changes to get where we want to go. And that what happens is that over time, right? This is how the devil works. Over time, you had a thought and you got away with it. And so another time you had a couple of thoughts and you got away with it. Nobody knows. And then you had a temptation and you succumbed to it. You gave in to the temptation and nobody knows. And so then it happens again and nobody knows. And it happens more and more and more and more and nobody knows. And every time that happens, you get a little bit further from where you should be. Every time it happens, you're a little further and nobody knows. Because you're in church and your hands are raised and you're singing. Because your pastor calls on you to pray and, man, I can pray. You get called on to do this, you get called on to do that. You show up and serve at a haircut event. You show up and serve at VBS. You do whatever. You're nice to people, you're loving people, but yet, slowly but surely, you're finding yourself further and further away. And a little bit further. And a little bit further. And nobody knows it but you. Or that's what you think. But your friends are noticing, acting differently. Your family's noticing, something seems a little off. But you think you're getting away with it. You think nobody knows. And don't for a minute, for a moment, think I'm preaching any condemnation, because, man, I've been there. I'm trying to help you figure out where you are. Psalm 49, verse 3. We ask God to examine us. And then verse 3, my mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. Sometimes the best way for us to get understanding, to understand what's happening, what's going on, where we are, is to get quiet and to meditate. And I'm not talking about, you know, that cross your legs and kind of meditation. I'm talking about quiet, still, focusing on trying to hear the voice of the Lord. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak anything to you of where you are and the things that need to be done to get you where you want to be. Because that kind of conversation only happens in the still and in the quiet. And I can tell you, as a society today, it is one of the hardest things for many of us to do, to get still and to get quiet. Because you get still and you get quiet. You even put your cell phone on silent. And you're sitting there and you're quiet and you're still. And then you hear... It's okay. I'll call back later. Gosh. But what if it's my mom? Ah, it's fine. They're still calling. It might be really important. Can I tell you, if I call you and you're in that moment of meditation, don't call me back. Call me later. And I don't care what's happening. I don't care if I'm calling to ask you to preach. I don't care if I'm calling to ask you to do something else. I don't care. If you're in that moment where it's you and the Lord, don't call me. Don't text me. Don't Facebook message me. I don't care. We will talk later. Time with Him is way more important than time with me or anything that I need ever. Ever. The meditation of my heart will be understanding. Sometimes you got to think about things, or you got to think about nothing, to allow the Lord to speak to you the thing that He wants to say to you. And I promise you, If it's condemning, if it's harsh and mean and it's not the Lord. But if it's, hey, I've kind of noticed that, you know, there's this thing that you're doing, and you know that you're doing it, and I think it's about time we quit that. Okay, Lord. All right. But you can't hear that with a bunch of noise going on around you. And we live in a day and a time where there's always a lot of noise going on around you. Or there are ways to get involved in a lot of noise going on around you. I tell you what, one of my biggest traps, personally, I got a couple of them, but one of them that I usually do a really good job of avoiding is Facebook posts that make me angry, because it's saying something either that's against Christians or against, you know, Christianity, or it's completely illogical, and there's that guy in me who wants to get on there, right? And Yosemite Sam'em. You know, some of y'all don't know who Yosemite Sam is. It's fine. It's okay. Watch Warner Brothers cartoons. You'll find him. He's a little cowboy guy. And when he gets angry, he's... Sometimes I want to do that. But the backspace button is my friend. And the backspace button keeps me out of trouble. Or, my favorite is like, whoop, just shut it off. just get out of it. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it today. It's making me angry. I'm not going to do it. That quietness, that moment where you just set everything aside. It's okay. Some of you don't know. It's okay. Some of you may not know. I'm going to teach you right now. Even though there are very few buttons on a cell phone or an iPad or a tablet, you can still shut them off. It's okay. I know. If we need to have a class of how to shut it off, I promise you, you can shut it off. And it's okay to shut it off. It's okay to sit in silence. It's okay. You will draw closer to the Lord when you sit and you meditate, and He will give you understanding that you don't have otherwise. He will help you. I promise you, if you will just shut that nonsense off for a little bit, you will gain understanding. You will gain wisdom. You will grow and learn and become better in that moment if you just shut it all out. Just shut it off. And you may start it back up, and there may be 30 messages from whatever. Hey, sorry, was having a little Jesus time. I know it's hard to admit I was having Jesus time. Man, if you're having Jesus time, I applaud you. We allow God to examine us, and then we give Him a chance to speak to us. Examine my heart, God. It's the first psalm that we read. And this psalm is, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. I'm going to examine my heart. I'm going to let God examine my heart. Then I'm going to meditate, and He's going to give me understanding. These are spiritual exercises that we need to practice. I'm going to let God examine my heart, and then I'm going to spend some quiet time and see what He reveals to me. And I promise you, you will grow closer to Him through that process every time. And you will get closer to where you want to be. You might have started out over here, but through that process of allowing God to examine you and then listening for His voice and what He says to you, you will begin the process of getting back to where you want to be. Go back to Luke 13. This is why we need to get back to where we want to be. To where we know we should be. In that place, He's talking about after they came to the door and tried to get in, and He said, I don't even know where you're from, you know? I don't even know your mom and them, right? In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. Yeah, I'd be gnashing my teeth. Probably be crying. Probably you don't be doing both. I'm going to be a little mad. That's my fault. 29. And they will come from east and west and south and north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And you're going to see it. You're going to watch them. They're going to be coming. And there's going to be people that are going to come that you never thought would be there at the table. And they're going to come. And they're going to sit at the table. And you're going to go, they're there, but I'm not. They figured out where they were. And you forgot where you came from. And behold, verse 30. Some are last who will be first. And some are first who will be last. First and last don't matter. This is not your table that you grew up with, or that you grew up at, where you had brothers or sisters, and it was a fight to see who got fed the most, right? Some of you had siblings, and it was, you know, dinner time was war time, because I'm going to get my food. And there's always somebody that wants to eat all of it. Somebody that's, you know, yeah. A friend of mine used to tell me about his brother when his mom would make him a pie, or would bake a pie and come out of the oven. His brother would take the pie and he would cut a slice and pull the slice out and then let all the filling run back into that spot where his slice was. And everything that came into that slice where his slice was taken, that was all his. So he'd just eat all the filling as it was running. Right? Right. That's brothers. That's how brothers do. Alex can't relate to that at all. Isaac likes to eat, I'm going to tell you right now. That boy can eat. Jesus took this moment in Luke 13 and he told the truth. And the truth was not necessarily easy to hear or easy to accept. The truth was not something that people were super grateful at first to hear. That they might not make the table. It's not easy to hear. But the truth is always going to be the truth, no matter how you feel about it. One of my favorite books that I've read in the last few years, the very beginning, the prologue of the book, it's written by a pastor, and the beginning of the book is an apology letter from the pastor to his church. And in that letter that he wrote to them, that they included in the front of this book, he says, it basically, I have tried to make Jesus look pretty and sound sweet and be pleasing to the eye and to the ear. And as I have read the gospel more and more and more, I have realized that there's not a lot of pretty about the gospel. Yet it is true. And he said, I will no longer try to make it pleasing, but I will always preach you the truth. Today I'm trying to give you the unedited truth. Because I don't know. I don't know. Even my Bible tells me even the Son doesn't know the day He's coming back. And I had this vision years ago of my Jesus standing next to, or sitting next to His Father, almost like a little kid. Hey, Dad, is it time yet? Hey, Dad, can I go now? Because He wants us so badly. And because He sees all of the stuff that's happening in our world. And never forget that Jesus wept. Because He looks, I just had this vision of Him sitting next to His Father like a little kid saying, Dad, don't you see this? Can I go now? What about now? Can I go now? But praise God, the Father says, it's not time yet. Because there are more there are more that need to know. He is patient, not wanting any to perish, is what his word says. Not wanting any to perish. And I'm not going to do an altar call. I'm not going to come and ask you to give your heart to Jesus and do any of that today. What I am going to ask you to do, if you're willing, if you have to go, please know we understand. There's no pressure here. There's no condemnation from anybody here. If there is, tell me and I'll deal with that. If you have to go, be blessed as you leave. I'm going to ask you to just spend a couple of minutes. Tammy's going to play some music. And if you know you are not where you want to be, I would challenge you to do those two things that we talked about in this message. That you would sit where you are, you would come to the altar, you would find a place where you would pray that Psalm 27 that says, examine me, O God. Examine me. And you would give him a couple of minutes or a few minutes or however long you feel necessary for him to examine you. And this is not a moment of condemnation. I don't want you to walk out of here feeling condemnation. I want you to walk out of here feeling free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And when he reveals to you that spot, that place, that thing that has got you far from him, that once you have gained that understanding, that you would begin to pray about that thing. And wherever you are, right where you are, lay it down in front of him. Because he can deal with it. And I'm going to ask you to be as brutally honest as you've ever been with yourself. Because there's growth in honesty. It's not easy, but there's growth in it. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to find a place if you wish, or sit right where you are and just spend some time in prayer. And I'll be here as long as we need to be here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of people gathered together in this place. Gathered here in your name. Gathered here, Lord, to commune with you. And Father, I pray that as we allow you to examine us, as if we have the courage, God, I just pray that we would have the courage to ask you to examine us. See if there's any wickedness in us. Reveal to us, God, whatever it is that we need to work on. Give us that understanding, God, and then give us the courage to take the necessary steps that will help us get where we want to be. That on that day, you would not look at us and say, I don't even know where you're from. Because we would be from your house and from your kingdom. Father, I thank you. As we pray, Lord, help us. Guide us and bless us. Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you. Yes, God.
If you don't like where you are right now, it's time to move.
This is my All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence I will live. All to Jesus I surrender. Save you, make me holy, thine. Let me feel your Holy Spirit. Truly know that you are mine. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
Surrender
all to